Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle, JCRB Krause.
It is Wednesday, my dudes. Here we are for more Q&A action.
Standard Q&A. Is this coming from anywhere in particular?
This is all sent to our email. Bumblecast Q&A. at yahoo.com. Yep, Yahoo still exists. And we're using it, by God. All right, well, we've had some exciting things happen, Ian. Lots of excitement. But, I think we've established most of it on the last episode. So if you're looking for our thoughts on the Sonic movie trailer, Sonic 2 movie trailer specifically, check out Monday's episode. Without further ado, though, let's go ahead and jump right into the Q&A today.
Just a quick reminder, we will not be answering any questions about Sonic Frontiers because I am under NDA. So please don't ask because we won't answer.
Yeah, we cannot address Sonic Frontiers. Cannot. I'm sorry, but you will end in nothing but disappointment. All right. Hopefully these answers won't be disappointing, though. So let's go ahead and get into answering these questions right now. This one is from Commander Proton. So people like to throw around the term wasted potential in regards to elements in characters or stories that could have had something done with them. What's a character or story you felt had wasted potential in Sonic and or Mega Man?
I mean,
a lot.
When I came onto the book, it was a lot of, I want to see where this story goes. I want to see these characters do something. So that's what I did.
Right.
I mean, the Scourge arc was more or less me using his popularity as a Trojan horse so I could finally explore the frickin' fearsome foursome, because they were nothing up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But that entire run was pretty much me doing that. So, I mean, no worries there. Mega Man, I feel like Quint is an interesting idea that never gets a lot done with it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So, I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
But now the Mega Man run was a lot of, oh, this is a lot of neat lore. What do you mean they don't do anything with it?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to connect some dots.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad even like Proto Man got some development in the comic, because he was like, he got some development a little bit, especially with Mega Man 5, but like outside of that, he's just kind of there. They never really did much with him. So yeah, I feel like Knuckles is wasted potential still, though, going back to Sonic still. You know, I guess him off to the island. It's like, what the heck, man? Get him off that stupid island.
Now you got me thinking of the Mega Man book again and how we had that tease of Blues at the end of the first arc.
Yeah.
Just looking through the skylight. And then you get the origin story. So that scene gets recontextualized and it just breaks your heart all over again. Chad Thomas did such a good job with that book. Okay.
Yes. That book is beautiful. Later on, like Mega Man X stuff. I don't know. Like most of the characters in the X games and like most of the story in the Mega Man games is just so kind of threadbare for the most part, which is kind of disappointing in a lot of ways, because there's a lot of lore built up around it that is really, really, really has a lot of potential. They just kind of don't mess with it much. So, yeah, I wish they would do that. So the only game that got a lot of really a decent story with some characters and with some extra detail was Command Mission. And that was, you know, in an alternate timeline future of the X series, because it takes place in 22XX, which is the same century that Mega Man Zero is supposed to take place in. So things get weird. Well, things get weird.
I would say the arc in Mega Man Zero was also fairly solid.
The Zero games are also an exception to that, for sure. They have
more that you could do with it, but
yeah,
they had a nice beginning, middle, and end.
It has a much nicer and a much deeper story than most of the other games. So yeah, I agree with you on that. But
and everyone's X. screaming, "Legends, get him off the moon!"
It's yeah, like, yes, that too. Man. That too. Yeah, Legends also has some pretty deep, some pretty good story. Some great characters. I mean, we all freaking love Tron Bond, so you know. But Classic and X, I don't know. They need more love. All right, here's a question from big Sonic fan Patrick. Was there ever clarification on what happened to Death Egg Mark II or Little Planet in Sonic 4 Episode 2?
Nope. As far as the game establishes, Little Planet is still encased in the Death Egg Mark II, and that would be great to follow up on. Speaking of untapped potential.
We'll never get Episode 3. Anyway. Let's get into this question here from Tony C. How do you imagine the plot of Sonic Colors would be like in the pre-reboot continuity? The tyrant making an amusement park in space built out with a sense of remorse. Does that even work with Robo Robotnik?
Pre-reboot, we were already trying to skew him a little closer to game canon, but... I mean, you could frame it as, I don't know, maybe he incorporates Renfield T. Rodent into it so that that's the front. Is that it's a new galactic amusement park. Okay, Renfield, how did you, of all people, get control of a galactic theme park? Oh, I have friends in high places. It's Eggman, isn't it? No, of course not. He's got a gun to your head, doesn't he? No, we can see the gun. Okay, yeah, I'm in trouble. If you want to go that authentic, or if you want to just cut out Renfield, just straight up have him conquering planets and building things on it to his own tastes, and then it's a matter of liberating planets, and you kind of lose the theme park angle. That was already a thin excuse anyway. Like, Sonic and Tails didn't believe that to begin with.
Alrighty. Yeah, I think it would, you could make it work. Would be kind of a shame to lose that whole amusement park quality to it, though. That's kind of the thing. It's a big thing, man. That's a big part of it. Alright. Well, let's get into the question from Certified Nobody. We know that the Archie universe is called the Prime Zone, and Archie Blaze's world is the Soul Zone, but what are the game and IDW universes called? And were either of the Sonics involved in the fight against Giant Borg?
To stave off any potential legal shenanigans, no. The IDW universe is completely separate, with no connection whatsoever. No tenuous threads for someone to cling to and try to take advantage of. I don't know if they've got a definitive name, you know, like the Universe 616 or Prime Zone or whatever. They just are.
They just exist. It's just a thing.
They just be.
Yep. Maybe it's just the game zone. It's like the Twilight Zone. Which was actually a thing in Sonic Comics, now I remember. Crap. Okay, we can't use that. Anyway. Here's a question from Colin B. Hi, Ian. Something I've been speculating about after Master Zik's explanation of how Sonic's society works in IDW. He says they are a mostly peace-loving people who simply don't do anything bad to one another or engage in violent behavior. This got me thinking, are those who are actually willing to take up arms or engage in violence looked at as taboo in society? The same way Klingons consider kindness and friendliness a weird and taboo behavior? Like, were those guards in issue 42 considered social pariahs, for example?
I wouldn't go too literal with Zeke's description, because keep in mind who's giving this assessment. This horrible little gremlin of a man who enjoys causing misery to others. He's not the unbiased viewpoint here. But in general, I think he's not completely wrong. It's, you know, that Mobians are generally peaceful coexisting individuals. And, you know, in the case of like any restoration security or, you know, any facility security, they're acting as a way to combat those who would cause harm and are being protectors. they don't necessarily want to do violence or like doing violence, but it is for the protection of others. And that comes with a different mindset than I'm going to do what I want at the cost of anybody else.
All right. Here's a question from Callum Q. Hey guys, I've got a question for Ian. What is Dragoon rated? On Webtoons, it is marked as having mature content. Could you please give us an idea of the type of content that will be included in the story? I'd really like to support your work, but I'm not comfortable reading something X or R rated. Thanks.
Yeah, teen rated in just that there would be, you know, violent situations, and there are events planned down the line that I would not be comfortable reading as like G rated, but we're not talking anything more graphic or violent or sexy than Star Wars.
Okay.
Like what is Revenge of the Sith rated? Like PG-13?
Is it? It might be,
And you've got Anakin literally burning alive after his limbs have been chopped off, and it's like that's a bit rough, buddy. Then I don't think we're even gonna go that far.
Okay, it's PG-13. Yeah, but he killed younglings.
Yeah, but we don't see it happen.
Well, I mean, is that good or bad? I'm not sure.
But yeah, Dragoon itself is not going to be like super graphic or hyper violent. It's just I want to make sure that we cover all our bases so that you don't go into it thinking everything's going to be super squeaky clean, and then, oh no, there's blood because violence has consequences. But we're not going to see like graphic depictions of dismemberment or whatever. It's basically Star Wars.
Here's a question from Madeline Blue Star 7. In issue 42 of IDW Sonic, during the video call, Vector mentions that Tails is in Central City, and then the next speech balloon says, "Take it away, little buddy." Since you wrote this issue, Ian, I wanted to hear from you. Is this Sonic or Vector saying this? I've heard it read as Vector's dialogue by Werewolf Wolfie in his reading of the issue in his review video, and it seems that it's Vector's dialogue continuing into the next balloon, but it also looks like it could be separate dialogue from Sonic.
Sorry, I was looking up the issue myself.
Okay, I was is this one of those, we can't answer it? Is this knowing smile?
No, I just wanted to get context again. You can read it either way. I think the way that the word balloon is distanced from Vector, that it can be implied that it's Sonic reading it, or it could be Vector saying it. It works either way. I believe in the script, it called for a larger screen with everybody's faces on it when you get to Tails' workshop, and Tracy had to readjust it to make it work on the page. So that's where any confusion would come from, but yeah, it works either way.
Alrighty. And here's a question from Ellie Plays Games. Hey Ian, do you know if Tribot, the third Orbot / Cubot Eggman robot that Sonic Channel introduced, is canon at all to the games or comics?
I'm pretty sure she's just a April Fool's joke, but you know me. Mm-hmm. I like my obscure stuff to bring kicking and screaming into legitimacy. So we may see Tribot come into play. I don't know.
That would be pretty fun. The Big RG has a question. What inspired your approach to the Witch Carters?
Number one, their obscurity. Number two, looking at what very little sprite work they had and tried to get some characterization off that. Like, Hockey Wolf was, taunting and goofy looking, so make him a goofy character. Behringer looks like he's screaming and snarling at you the entire time, so make him all grumpy and gruff. Karatea is like doe-eyed and flirty the entire time, so instead of introducing a female character and just making her yet another seductress type, I figured I'd play with that doe-eyed expression and just make her kind of, I don't want to say ditzy, but that kind of almost stoner-esque, detached from the moment sort of thing, because you don't really see a lot of that trope too much, and it would be interesting to give it to someone different.
Mm-hmm. And we got a question here from Andres. I was wondering what your favorite comic book of all time was. Personally, mine is The Sandman by Neil Gaiman. I love the way he writes his characters, and I also love how he tells some issues like they were long-lost legends of people and their encounters with a legendary Dream Lord.
I need to read that at some point.
Yeah, I've never read it myself, but I hear.
I mean, if you want to,
it's one of those. It's one of those that always gets brought up in like the same breath as like Watchmen or things like that. One of those seminal books of seminal, like defining moments of the medium.
If we're going to expand this to any kind of graphic literature, then Full Metal Alchemist, by far. That's just, it's such a brilliantly crafted story. It's staggering how many threads are woven into it and how it just comes together in the end. And we've talked about it before on the show. Just, it's marvelous. If you want to make the distinction between Western books and manga, then I'm probably going to say Bone. Because it has this whimsy and this sense of ever-expanding adventure that is just infectious. I wasn't like super 100% satisfied with the ending, but it's also been a long time since I read it, so I should probably just go through and read it again at some point. But it captured me. It enraptured me. It's just a great little adventure story. Little, he says, across 9 freaking books.
Well, I had to look at my comics real quick. The thing is that I don't have a heck of a lot of comic reading history. I read a lot of Sonic, of course, as a kid, and then dropped off of it for a long time and then picked it back up with Ian's run. I wasn't constant though on Ian's run until near the end of Archie, like just before the reboot or whatever, somewhere around there. But so at risk of sounding biased, and I am, don't get me wrong, but I think my favorite comic was Worlds Unite. Or not Worlds Unite, Worlds Collide, sorry. Worlds Unite is fun, but Worlds Collide is freaking just a fantastic. It's a love letter to everything that I love. Mega Man, Sonic. Yeah, that's just about everything I love. No, I love more than that, but it was one of those like just defining moments for the two characters. Finally getting them to come together, officially bringing them around. Just so good. And our last question before we go on break is from Blue Blur. So a question on superforms. Why are they treated as invulnerable when Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, Ray, Mighty, Metal Overlord, Amy, Mega Mother of Wisp, Time Eater, Solaris, Egg Wizard, Egg Salamander, Final Hazard, Dark Gaia, Egg Robo, Phantom King Ruby, and Imperator X damage them?
Well, it's a matter of what do they get damaged by. You know, if they're up against an end boss that is using comparable power, then it's like a diamond cutting a diamond. But if you put them in any other scenario, you know, your normal badniks and spikes and traps and whatnot are not going to hurt them, crushing damage aside.
It's like, it's like Superman and Supergirl fighting each other. They can hurt each other, but I mean, like just a regular person punching either one of them, they're going to break their hand before anything.
Right. So, they're invulnerable until you put them into the same weight class as something else like them.
Yeah. The same or higher. It's all about power levels, man. Sure, your power level might be over 9,000, but someone else's power level might be over 10,000. Then what? Then what happens? Then you get insane power creep and things just go out of control. So before that happens, I think we should take a break, Ian. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right.
All right, well, let's do that and then come back with more Bumblecast. And we're back. The Bumblecast has returned with a question from Anhasiac. Hey Ian, big fan. Please help me settle a debate between myself and my friend. Would Tangle like Mortal Kombat?
Yes, if it had the no blood coat on.
I feel like she would. I feel like she would cringe at the like X-ray moves and stuff in the modern Mortal Kombat. But then she'd like keep going. She'd be like, ooh,
like she'd,
and then she'd get back into it. Like, yeah, boom.
Like, she'd be all for the fighting game itself and like the animalities and the babyalities. You know, friendship would crack her up. But then when you get to the more hardcore gory stuff, she'd be like, I don't know if I can do this. This isn't fun anymore.
And then it would zoom back out and it would be back to normal. And she'd be like, oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think after like, so there's some of the fatalities that are like, whew, they're a bit much for me. Imagine she'd kind of like walk away going, yeah, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And the Tails is like, no, you can put this code in. That doesn't do that anymore. And she's like, oh, all right. And then she's all over it.
Okay. Okay. I'm being told that Melina does a spin dash in Mortal Kombat 11. Now I'm
something like that.
Now I'm curious. I've never seen that. Yeah, Tangle. I guess Tangle is more of a Street Fighter player, or maybe Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, she'd be all about fighting games in general.
Oh yeah, she likes fighting, but she doesn't like killing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the excitement and the challenge, and then there's, you know, hurting people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe she's an SNK snob. King of Fighters. King of Fighters is the only one good enough for her. Fatal Fury. Yes. I love SNK, but man, sometimes SNK fans do get a little far up their own butt. Still great games though. Golden Lighting is here with a question. I was curious about the Sonic 06 line where Silver mentions Blue Hedgehog is said to be a translation error by Flynn. I think they mean you've said that. I don't think it means it was a translation error by you.
Right.
Which is kind of, that's kind of what it
says. I said it was a translation error.
Yes, yes. But you didn't make the translation error. Where was this confirmed? Western localization has had a bit of experience with translation before Sonic 06. Regardless, I do have native Japanese-speaking coworkers that have also interpreted the line as blue in Japanese. I was wondering where to find an official source for confirmation of this translation error that Flynn has mentioned.
Official source? There is none. This was a error pointed out to me, and it makes sense to me, and that's what I'm going with, because let's be honest, the script for 06 was not solidly done. There's even a reference to one of the early interpretations of the Scepter of Darkness that's in a voiced line where they still call it the Book of Darkness. And I feel like there are other errors in the script as well. 06 was not finished when you get down to it.
Like everything else about the game, the script was rushed. The translation was rushed. They did not finish it.
And that's not to speak ill of the translation team, the localization team, because they were probably working under the gun at that point. Mistakes were made. It's just, you know, somebody probably didn't have time to contextualize what was there. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, to be perfectly honest, but for the way that the game is presented and the how much fixing that one translation would fix a lot of other stuff in the game, I feel like I'm confident that that's the issue.
All right. There's one from Liam D. In regards to the cube wisp hammer, it locks robots in a cube and destroys them. So what happens if you hit a person with it? Also, can you just leave them in the cube? It's like a Pokeball that kills you eventually if you let it.
Now, the power is being produced by the wisps, so maybe the wisp has a certain degree of control over its potency and would not allow it to be lethal unless it's a really messed up wisp. I don't know, maybe. And what if somebody uses the cube effect to protect someone, you know, encase them in that cube so they don't get hit with debris or whatever? It would really suck that the only way to get them out is to, like, mangle them. So this is fantasy alien magic powers. Let's just say that it can be brought up and dropped down with or without any harm caused.
Alrighty. Space 2.0 has a question. A few of the characters in Sonic have their own phobias. Sonic and water, Tails and thunderstorms, and Blaze and heights. Fears are a great details to give to characters, so I've got to wonder, what do you think the other Sonic characters' fears are?
Well, we know Tangle doesn't do enclosed spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Whisper is a bundle of fears that she keeps barely bottled up.
Mm-hmm. Little boxes. Little boxes.
See, I don't want to tag too many people with it in case something actually comes up down the line, but you know, what do we see within the characters, you know? What is it, what do we have them do that speaks to that?
Mm-hmm.
Like one thing I've gotten a note on is that Sonic does not actually fear water. It's just he doesn't handle it well. And other media has played with that a bit. Sonic Boom, I think, to the greatest extent.
What? Who the heck wrote that episode? I mean, geez.
I mean, there's also an episode in Sonic X where he's fighting Knuckles and he freaks out because he thinks he's in deep water.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? That might just be a note that's one of those notes.
One of the ones you just crumple up and throw away?
You don't have to keep on file too long.
Mm-hmm. It's a logical, rational fear. Phobias are generally irrational, usually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if we're just talking about fears in general, stuff that really just rankle a character, you know, then you got Tails' lightning and Tangle's claustrophobia. I don't know if Amy really has anything. She seems like she can.
Is she afraid of rejection?
Well, no, because that never stopped her from being rejected by Sonic since CD.
I guess that's true. Does she have a fear of being portrayed like she was in Heroes? Maybe she's afraid when she tries to summon her hammer, it won't come. No!
I mean, I guess Vector's afraid that any piece of mail is a bill come due.
That's his nightmare. Just opening a mailbox and boom! Everything flies out in his face. No! Rough and Tumble are terrified of showers.
Well, they've been established as having a fear of the paranormal. So there you go.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. We talked about that last week. Yeah, I remember that. Okay, so in the Boom comic, you had Amy lose her hammer, and she was freaking out about that.
Yeah, but all of Boom is a bit of hyperbole.
I know, but it's still fun. Still fun. Oh,
that's fun. Man, that was fun. I don't know. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah. Is Eggman afraid of not having all the attention?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing Starlines is a fear of failure.
Starline doesn't fear anything. Fear is irrational.
Lies.
Coping mechanism for the weak.
Yeah, sure. All right, and here's one from David E. In issue 2 of the Bad Guys miniseries, where Starline and the other villains went up against a T-Rex themed Badnik, I think it was a nice nod to Reds, a Badnik that was going to appear in Sonic 2 but got cut and reappeared in the mobile version. I have 3 questions regarding this Badnik. What's this Badnik's name? Is it classified as a super Badnik? And were there any dinosaur-themed robots that inspired this design?
I don't think we had a name for it because it wasn't originally going to be reoccurring. I don't know what nonsense I was under at the time because it's a T-Rex Badnik. It ought to come back again.
Fool. What were you on that day?
I don't know.
Probably an hour of sleep and... You know,
well, I think it's also a matter of I wasn't sure if we could do that or if they would ask us to do a different robot, and then that got approved, and so just full steam ahead. But yeah, nah, we need to bring that back. We need to bring that back. Yeah, I'd classify it as the super Badnik because to me, standard Badniks are your usual small sized ones that you can finish off with a bop. Super Badniks are anything that takes like 2 or more hits.
Yeah.
Mini boss quality robots. And if it was themed after anything, I want to say it wasn't a little influenced by Reds, but also by Ghost Rex out of, was it Rush or Rush Adventure?
What one is it?
Boss from,
oh, okay.
I want to say it was Sonic Rush.
I think there was like a dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah, it was a T-Rex. He had a big extender. Yeah, I just can't remember.
I think you're right. Yeah. Because I played Rush, but not Rush Adventure. So, and that sounds familiar.
But I think the ghost distinction for the bosses was Rush Adventure. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm remembering the Rush music for it. I don't know. I would have to go check the Encyclopedia, which is out now, thanks to Dark Horse Publication.
Mm. Is Metal Sonic considered a Super Badnik?
No, I would put him in a class all his own. He's part of the Metal series.
He's Metal Sonic. I mean, yeah, that's it. He's just, he's his own. You can't defeat Metal Sonic in two hits. What are you, crazy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he's more than some, yeah, Badnik. He's Metal Sonic.
All right, here's one from Johan R. Will you ever introduce other nations separate from Eggman into the comics who plan to expand their own sphere of influence in the post-Forces world? I'd love to see a concept of nationality in IDW Sonic and see how Sonic would react, since he will no longer be facing off against a single evil, but rather a warring nation.
I'm not immediately in love with that idea, because the Eggman Empire is an easy villain because it's just Eggman. The robots don't have any issues of loyalty or national pride or whatever. They're just mindless robots. A little bit of personality with Metal Sonic, Orbot, and Cubot. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's not get stuck up in the details. It's Eggman, and he is the villain, and whatever territory he claims is the Eggman Empire. If you get into a whole other nation, then you run into the sticky things like, well, does everyone in the nation agree to this? Are they willing participants? What is the drive of this nation? I mean, if we're going to have something that is power grabbing, you would probably need some kind of totalitarian leader so that gives you somebody at the front. But when you start having troops and loyalty, then it gets a little stickier. And then you raise bigger questions than just Sonic Bops Robot Freeze Bird, you know? It's not an impossible notion, but I don't know how well it would fit into Sonic. Like, even Gun is this kind of monolithic paramilitary force. It doesn't answer to one nation. It's mostly robots and, like, attack craft. You don't fight people so much outside of Shadow's game. They're not really fighting for a nation or ideology. They're just fighting against some outside threat. Once, like, the Black Arms are driven out, or once conceivably the Eggman Empire falls, they would just return to a standby state for the next threat. They wouldn't be conquering anywhere else conceivably. It's kind of hard to get a read on Gun, because SA2, they're clearly an antagonistic force, but everything after that paints them as a positive force. I don't know. Maybe that's a new direction they'll take Gun in, if it's still around. I don't know. I don't know.
Very strange. I guess we'll see what happens. And we got one here from Elijah M. Would you or another writer ever be interested in doing an adaptation of Sonic Battle in IDW?
I'm not going to speak for Evan, but in my mind, as far as the comics continuity is concerned, Battle already happened because we have Gimmel running around. Did I settle on Gimmel or Gimmel? No, I can't remember. The cool robot with cream. So he has to come after Battle, and he is here, therefore Battle has happened. I've said before, I would adore the opportunity to do like a graphic novel series that just does the modern timeline stories, just start to finish, adventure up to now, and Battle would be in that mix, of course, but I don't really see a reason to go back and adapt the story at this point.
And here's a question from Craig T. What's your thoughts on Sonic Project Cross Love Disaster, or is it Sonic Project X Love Disaster? I'm not sure.
I don't know, and my Google results, I don't think we're right about this one. So I don't know what this is. Is it a fan project? Is it an obscure game that I don't know about? Because Google Google gave me different links.
They do. Yeah, they do not talk about it.
Sonic Project Cross Love Disaster.
Oh, wait. It's a YouTube. Something YouTube. Love Potion Disaster. That's...
It's a fan thing.
Looks like a... Yeah.
Oh, the chat is losing its mind. Oh,
the chat's going crazy. Okay, yeah. Okay, I just looked it up. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. I don't think we can talk about this. This is After Dark territory here, buddy.
Yeah, wow. All right.
Yeah, okay. This is a this is an adult game.
Okay.
So,
if you're inclined to search this, don't do it at work or around small children or with safe search off. Actually, don't Google this.
It looks like
I thought I was looking at all the wrong things, but apparently I was.
It looks like it is a Sonic related visual novel.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I assumed I was wrong because I didn't think someone would come onto a family-friendly show and ask about a non-family-friendly thing. I thought they would have better sense than that.
What?
But
no.
I was wrong.
Ian.
Again.
This is Sonic we're talking about. This is the thing. glad to have the Aaliyah cameo there. I think we got trolled, yeah. Because I didn't look this up either. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's a fan thing. Ian can't do anything with fan things stuff. Anyway.
Although I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to incorporate any elements anyway.
Here's a question from Lilac Reindeer. Hey, guys, in issue 12 of the IDW Sonic series, Tangle tries to get Whisper to repeat a joke about a toaster to Sonic. What was the joke?
Well, if I told it, that ruins the joke of the issue itself.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're probably right. I'm being asked if someone paid for that last question. No, this is a standard Q&A, luckily.
That was a standard Q&A.
This is standard, yeah.
Someone was very patient for us to step on that landmine.
Luckily, they did not pay. It'd be funnier if they did, though. All right. That's the last question for you, Ian.
Yes, but Lilac Reindeer has a question for you, Kyle.
Oh, boy.
Are you a fan of any band or artist who aren't known for video games that you would never have gotten into if it were not for their pre-existing tracks being licensed for use in a game?
Oh, yeah. Most of the bands that have appeared in, like, Tony Hawk. Like, I'd never heard of Goldfinger without Tony Hawk. Oh, and I guess Gran Turismo 3, because they had a song in that too. I got into Stone Temple Pilots for a while as a kid because of Gran Turismo. Specifically, Gran Turismo 2 had a Stone Temple Pilots song. So I really only like their first album, though. The other ones are okay, but that's mainly their first album. I'm trying to think of some others. Like Manic Street Preachers, I'd have never heard of if they weren't in a video game. Yeah, there's a lot of bands that I wouldn't have known about necessarily. Another one from Gran Turismo, Ash, pop punk band, kind of obscure, but, they had a song in the first Gran Turismo game, started out with a TIE Fighter sound. And that was like, what the heck? Why is there TIE Fighter sound in this game? And oh, it's the song. So. It's called Lose Control, fittingly enough. And what else? What other bands I've never heard of without video game licenses? There's a lot. I mean, we could go through a lot of stuff. There's a lot of racing games and rhythm games, especially, where it's a band I never would have necessarily heard of before. But, go down the list. But, yeah, I knew who the Offspring were before Crazy Taxi, but I definitely opened my eyes to more of their music. Yeah, I don't really have anything else. That's it. That's the last question.
Then before we wrap up, we're going to give a big thank you to everyone who makes this show possible, either through patreon.com, ko-fi.com, or as a YouTube member. Big thank you to, and I'm not even going to attempt this in one breath because there's like 100 of you almost this time. Big thank you to Daniel H and Alex P, James K and John B, Jennifer R, Robotnik Home, Samuel P, Sam Cybercat, Torchbound, Mike B, Coupland Crew 128, Do As This Den, Diane W, Andrew D, and Scruffy Matt, Dave M, Chris A, Salute Your Cat and Off, Sony John M, J Frost, Noni Don B, Yami M, Lee HK, Jib and Lisa M, Hero of Light 13, Chevelle, Ryan D, and Piggy Bank, Blue Title Gamer, Tick Tick, Fine O'Neill, Ben Wolf, Spain, Jonathan D, Ian Waffles, Invade, Turbatoonis, Rachel W, Fiona M, Godzilla, Chaos Universe, Sonic Legacy, Deadler the Dalek, Daniel B, Fire Red XY, Sonic, 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 PC the Unicorn, Red the Super Namek, Dove, Pandolce, Carlos, Joe S, Chad, Preston M, and Jennifer H, Chico D, Alphamon or Yukin, Spark Z, Les, Chase L, John the Real Waluigi, Sapphire Scarletta, Ava Wolf, Noah S, Owen BD, Delta Room, Jerry, Kojiro Highwind, Nimric, Professor Rye, Red Wolf, Cameron H, Kimi Ko, Turbo Column Q, Crooker, Radry, Xanderoni the Painter, Lewis J. Sorry, Lewis. Just a Mountain Soul, Alex the Border Collie, Four Sonic Fan, In Zephyr, Maddie H, Techno Cinema, Scott Skunk, Bob J, Solaris Stain, The Koi Boys, Strawberry Cheesecake, Scurvy Pirate Hog, Wolfie Girly Wolf Girl, Mini Hats, and The Shadow Emperor.
You lost the beat there, Ian.
Yeah, well, this isn't exactly written for limericks.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama.
Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean.
Have you been watching watching the new seasons of Animaniacs?
I have not seen the newest season.
Okay, okay. It's been a running gag that song is a running gag now. Like, oh, don't you do it. Don't you do it. they don't want Yakko to sing no more. Yes, the newest season, the latest season, fantastic stuff. You should watch it.
Add that to the list.
Yep.
But for now, that's going to wrap us up for today's episode. Join us Friday for a special sponsored episode. Got another one of those coming up.
Yeah.
Until then, be good to yourselves, be good to each other, and we'll see you Friday.
Boingy, boingy, boingy.
A clown is my friend. A clown would not bite me and throw me in the basement.
I don't know. Have you ever met a clown? They might.
I am a clown.
Aren't we all? That's where we're at now. Put on the makeup. Here we go. All right, we're done here finally.
We are done.
This has been almost 3 hours, even though we only recorded for two. Oh well. Hi, Ian. Something I have been speculating about after
Take two.
Yep.
You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
All right, here's one.
Hold on.
What's going on?
We have windstorm problems. So I'll be right back.
Okay. The storm that hit Midwest earlier is now in Toronto. So, they're okay. They live on like the 16th floor too. So, man, lounge chair, go fly. Wee.
Okay, we okay on your end?
Yeah, I'm good. Did you save the chair?
I moved it as close to the wall as I could.
Okay, I was like,
you can't really bring it inside, so.
Okay, because Lee said that it tried to take flight. I'm like, did you catch it before it went?
I mean, it's not a light thing. It's not like super heavy, but it's not like featherweight.
Well, this just goes to show how freaking windy it is.
I mean, I brought the umbrella in hours ago. And the only reason why we have it still is because I had it tied down. Okay. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. Fingers crossed that there's no tornadoes up there.
I don't think so.
You guys don't usually get tornadoes, really.
Not typically.
Not like the Midwest. Not like the Midwest U.S. does. We get some occasional, like, little tornadoes and microburst things here, but they just kind of blow trees over or take roofs off one or two houses. They don't like completely decimate an entire city. So, yay. Still scary though.